Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Cryptid Factor! With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Just when you thought it was dead. Out of the cryptid full oceans of despair comes the tiny yellow three-man submarine of joy. That is us, Rhys, Dan, and Buttons, pulling levers in the engine room to bring you the world's greatest BS you don't need to know. That's right, we're back!
Yeah! I was so funny, whoa. I started choking.
It was what's happening?
It was beautiful.
Get back in the engine room.
It's smoky down there, sir. There's lots of smoke. I think something's blowing up.
Want a glass of water?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you.
I haven't got any for you. I'll have a glass of water for you. Hang on. That's lovely. Now, how are we all?
Wonderful.
Super good. You gave a yellow submarine reference in there, and I'm wearing my yellow submarine shirt.
Exactly.
Total coincidence.
Hey, was that a coincidence?
Yeah, we didn't call each other up. I didn't say what I was wearing tonight, and Rhys went, great, I'll lob that into the intro.
Yeah.
This is pure coincidence.
This is what I'm talking about. It's synchronicity.
I thought you added that in at the last moment. I just thought you sort of saw his shirt on the Zoom and went...
No.
Oh, my...
No, that was all part of my little speech. That's why I mentioned earlier. I wrote this down. This is my intro.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's meant to be. It's meant to happen. We're meant to come back. It's been a long time, and we're very sorry about that, fans. As you know, this is possibly our first official release of 2022. Which is odd.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that happened?
Although there will be another one coming. I've heard through the grapevine something we recorded earlier in the year, which didn't quite make it, may be on its way to making it. Is that correct, Buttons?
That is correct. One of our wonderful Patreon members took them.
No? Is he frozen?
Yeah.
I'm not frozen.
Yeah, you...
No, you are. You're jumpity. You're coming back and forth.
I'll try...
There's got to be a few rusty. What do you call it when you come back and you're not quite on form?
Yeah, you're. It's like when you play tennis again for the first time in 5 years. You got to do a couple of rallies. You got to feel it out. Warm up. You got to warm up.
You got to warm up. We're pretty creaky. We want to be able to record for the podcast every week. So we want to get back into it. And this is us attempting to do that.
You hear, Buttons?
How's your technology now?
Buttons, you there?
For the love of goodness. My connection is unstable. Hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, am I okay now?
Yeah, you seem okay now.
Oh, great. By the love of God.
How did that happen? You've been great up until we pressed play.
I don't know. I think that's cursed. Well, there's a curse on us. I've just been to one of the most scary places, I think, on planet Earth. And I'm not too sure, but I think an entity has attached itself to me and is cursing things like my technology.
Oh, right.
Okay, let's rewind this and let's tell the listeners exactly what you've been up to recently, please, Buttons.
It's been a very freaky week because I ended up traveling all the way over to America from New Zealand. Like at last minute, I had to race over to Boston. And then the thing that I had to race over for mysteriously just kind of all fell to bits.
Oh, wow.
And then I found myself in Boston kind of going, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, I've got nothing to do. Why don't I go to Utah to a UFO conference?
How far is Utah from Boston?
Well, it's like a 5-hour flight.
What?
I had to go to Salt Lake City, and then I had to drive 3 hours from Salt Lake City into the Uintah Basin. And the other thing that happened to be right near the UFO conference was Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes.
I think that's not a coincidence. I think they probably...
that's a very good point.
Conference. So there's this UFO conference and it's right next to Area 51.
It's so weird. Crazy. Right? So weird. Anyway, so I was there at this conference going and seeing these incredible speakers talking about all things ufology. But then also, I decided to go out in the middle of the night to go and check out Skinwalker Ranch.
Now, but before you go into that, you had an inn, didn't you? How did you tell us what happened there? Because this is a classic Buttons story.
Classic in what way?
Well, it's just so you offered to help someone, didn't you? There was someone was broken down on the road.
I did, but it might seem a little dodgy. Because I was like, I would...
Oh, really?
Well,
change it slightly so it's not so dodgy for the audience.
Well, as it happened, I flew over to... On my way to Salt Lake City, and I'm feeling a little bit down because the thing that I flew all the way over there for hadn't happened. And so I thought, what would make me happy is I'd hop on this app that you can hire other people's cars. And I was there flicking through, and then a Porsche popped up for $80 a day.
Brilliant.
And I've never driven a Porsche. And I'm like, I've got to drive 3 hours. So I'm going to hire this. And it turned out to be a bit of an old clapper. But anyway, it's still a Porsche. the problem is I didn't even consider the fact that I'm driving into the American country kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Where everybody's driving massive big trucks and ATV vehicles on the road and all this kind of stuff. There were no other Porsches driving around, no other any type of European car. So I'm the.
So you were the only wanker.
I was the only wanker. That's exactly what it was. Anyway, I pulled over at the top of this mountain halfway on my 3-hour drive because I was feeling a little bit tired. And this older woman turned up.
Older than who?
Older than any of us.
Okay.
75-year-old woman.
Okay.
Turned up, and it turned out her car had broken down
100
meters away from this rest stop.
Wait a minute. She turned up. Where were you? You were in your car driving. No?
I pulled over at like a rest stop.
Right.
Anyway, I offered to take her and her daughter and her granddaughter to their house. So they weren't exactly hitchhikers, but I sort of gave them a lift.
Well, that's lovely.
Well,
how many seats in this Porsche? Aren't they classically
two-seaters? This one, that's a good question. This one was a four-seater.
This is the dodgy bit. They're all on your lap.
Then you get love. Yeah. And your granddaughters, come on.
We're not going to fit in that tiny car.
Oh, come on. It's a beautiful European sports car. I'm sure you all want to ride.
Well, this is
I don't think so, Mr. Kirkbeck.
Well, this is the problem, right? I felt totally dodgy offering them the ride to start with, but they gratefully accepted. It turned out that the elderly lady, the grandmother, was Australian. So the whole New Zealand-Australian thing. So it was, you know, it was sort of like camaraderie. It wasn't too dodgy. But, of course, they had a big SUV and they had just been shopping at Costco. So had a whole car full of groceries. So we had to fit them in and all the groceries and all of my bags and their bags.
This is classic you. But that's so great. Not many people would offer that. I mean, you're a lovely guy. So you took them all back to their place with all their groceries?
Yeah, but the problem is they all clamber in. We've got bags and everything all on our laps and stuff, and I start driving down the road. And then, of course, the awkward part where they ask me, so what am I doing in this part of the world? And I had to reveal us going to a UFO conference. If they weren't scared before, they were certainly like, what have we just put ourselves into? But as soon as I said, I'm a little embarrassed, you know, about why I'm here. And I think at that point, they probably started dialing 911 secretly in their phones.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to a UFO conference. And
you didn't ask them all to hand their phones over at the start of the ride?
Is that what you do? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, God. No.
And don't open the glove box, whatever you do. Don't.
Exactly. This wonderful Australian woman, as soon as I said UFO conference, she was like, oh, I believe in UFOs. That's fantastic.
Well, there you go.
And she said, in fact, one of my very, very close friends runs this ranch with a strange name. And I was like, not Skinwalker Ranch. And she's like, how do you know about Skinwalker Ranch? And so I had an in to get to Skinwalker Ranch. As it turns out, this woman then said, it told me her name. And her name
Janet is Skinwalker.
No! her name is incredible. Not necessarily relevant to the story. Her name is Loyal. Yeah, first person cool. I've ever known with the first name Loyal.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Yeah. Her maiden name was Brown. And then the person she married's name is Pet. So.
Wait, what? Pet? That's the surname?
Yeah, so her full name is a sentence. It's Loyal Brown Pet. It's the first person I've ever met with a sentence as a name.
Loyal Brown Pet.
It's not a great sentence. Well,
it's like, it's basically saying dog.
That's cool. And it's the first time I've heard the word pet as a surname, like P-E-T.
Exactly.
Oh, P-E-T. Sorry. I've
taken this story to a very, very low point, haven't I?
No. I thought you said pit. It's the
New Zealand accent.
The accent. Oh, yeah.
Pet.
Loyal Brown Pet. Okay, yeah, that's better. I was like, Loyal Brown Pit. That's not,
that's not a great sentence.
That's true.
But Pet, that's good.
I do wish her surname was Skinwalker, though. You know, the way that she's like, yeah, Skinwalker Ranch. And it's just right next to the actual other main Skinwalker Ranch. Like someone with the surname McDonald's being like, I've got a restaurant called McDonald's. Like, cool.
Not the McDonald's.
Wow, so that's exciting. She didn't come through, though, is that right?
So what happened is that the person she put me in touch with, son who's involved in it, wasn't in town. So for those that don't know about Skinwalker Ranch, a lot of incredibly terrifying things have happened there. A lot of paranormal activity, UFO sightings and abductions have happened quite commonly.
But also like Bigfoot sightings, right?
Yeah, Bigfoot sightings as well.
A lot of Bigfoot sightings. And also shape-shifting animals or creatures.
Cattle mutilations.
Oh, and a lot of cattle mutilations, that's right. And also effectively ghost stories or spirit kind of things. And there's a lot of conjecture around whether or not it might be tied into the Native American First Nations tribes that are there, the Ute and the Navajo, who are further down south.
Well, that's where the Skinwalker mythology comes from.
That's right, from the Navajo, And even though that's not their area, they think that there were some big battles there. There's also a place there which is a man-made lake, which has had a whole bunch of submersible UFO scene that like
USOs. USOs.
So it's kind of like every box is checked for this place. Yeah. It's like it's everything's crazy. There. And that goes along with what Loyal Brown Pet was telling me, that she actually sent me a message whilst I was there at the conference. I said to her, look, I'm gonna go along and check it out anyway late at night, because I'm like, I'm all the way there. What happens if I never come back to Utah? This might be my only chance to go and check out Skinwalker Ranch. The challenge was that the only time I had was sort of late at night, and nobody wanted to go with me from the UFO conference. I met some wonderful people.
Oh, really?
And every time I said, I want to go out and check out Skinwalker Ranch, it was only about a 30-minute drive away. Everybody said that they just didn't want to, that it was, you know, so many people had
too
terrifying
spooky
experiences there. Yeah.
Would you have been allowed to go in? Like, is there a spot? Are you technically breaking in if you go without the invitation?
No, you can't go onto the ranch. Like, there's trespass signs up everywhere. You can go up to the front gates. And there is this one spot where the son of this woman, Loyal Brown Pet, had said that he had seen something run across the road in front of him, some strange animal, and straight down a 300-foot cliff. And he's heard of bad things happening there. But Loyal Brown Pet wrote and said, you know, when I was trying to line it all up, I should stop saying her full name because it sounds just, like I'm talking.
Exactly. It's like saying, and I have with me Reese Montague Darby. Now, Reese Montague Darby, what did you do recently? I mean, you know, but when you've got a name that's awesome, exactly. You might as well use the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Loyal Brown Pet is amazing.
I would argue that Reese Montague Darby is worth saying. Same. Every single time as well.
I think I'm going to start saying that as well.
That's a kick ass name. I'm using that from now on. Yeah.
Well, secretly, I want to get it out there. That's why I'm pushing it today. I mean, if you've got Montague in your as your middle name, I can't believe I just went so many years without even sort of
using Montague.
Using it, I would mention it, and people wouldn't believe me, and then I'd have to show my ID. And you know, I'm named after my grandfather. His name was Montague, and so. You know, I'm proud of it as well. It's just a funny thing. I guess when I was a kid, I was a bit embarrassed or a bit like, what is that word? And then, you know, and then you watch Romeo and Juliet and it's the Montagues and the Capulets.
Yes, that's true.
Also, just quiet. Now that you're a famous pirate, it just sounds very piratey as well, doesn't
true.
It?
True. Well, certainly for a fancy pirate, you know.
Yeah.
But the best thing about all of this is that we've successfully moved along from Buttons' story. Now, let's move. unless you want to quickly sum up and no more than three sentences, anything else exciting that happened to you there?
Well,
we just did half an hour getting to the bit that we want to hear about.
It was that.
And I cancel it.
We're not going to hear any of it.
And one of those sentences can't be Loyal Brown Pet, because then you've used up all your words, mate.
Man, just say Loyal Brown Pet three times and I'm done.
Will she appear? Is she like Candyman?
Well, there's every chance she will emerge from the Skinwalker Ranch bit of hell.
Back on your lap.
Anyway, she sent me a message as I was heading there, and after all these UFO people had told me I wouldn't go there if
Wait,
I was
Loyal, there. Loyal sent you a message?
Loyal sent me a message.
So you swapped numbers?
Yeah, we're Facebook friends now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And she wrote to me and said, Leon, please be careful. My friends just told me about her son. An entity followed him home and into his house. And there things happened. I can't tell you what it was, Leon, but it was awful.
Oh, God.
Wow.
So I get this message the night that I'm heading there. And then all these other people are like, okay, this is what happens. If you go there, if you start getting a pressure headache, and you start getting tingles, that's something trying to attach itself to you. You've got to go and buy some cigarettes to leave some tobacco as an offering so that they don't attach.
Wait, who told you this?
These are the UFO guys that didn't want to come with me because they were too scared. And so I went there at 1 o'clock in the morning thinking I'd be all big and brave, and it was terrifying.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I just noticed a big shadow thing go in front of my car. It's a whole thing. I'm going to put the little video up on Patreon, but... The shadow thing went in front of me, and then I heard a massive whack on the...
Wait, is that part of it?
Yeah. I heard a big whack on the back of the Porsche, and then I took off, and some headlights came out of the ranch and started following me. I was this terrified.
This poor guy who lent you his Porsche going, you know what, I'm going to put it up. I'm not usually going to put my Porsche up on this weird app, but $80 a day, I'll make someone's weekend.
Boy, did he and it's now haunted customer. I'm going to drive this Porsche all the way to Skinwalker Ranch, the most horrific, treacherous place on the planet. Park it up here, should be fine. Oh, God, something's hit the Porsche. Not only that, it's not big enough to transport other people in, and you've got a whole family of ladies and women in the back there with all their groceries probably seeping through onto those expensive European seats.
I do have to say, after I finished going to the ranch and to this other ranch that I went to on some pretty rough roads, there was a really bad knocking noise coming from the front.
Oh, no.
Were you sure that wasn't someone trapped in the boot trying to get out?
it's one of the Australians, the granddaughter.
Oi, oi, your sister chopped me off. It's my grandmother. Oi, oi. Oi.
The truth may actually be too close.
But my favorite bit of the story is that you put up a video on the Patreon where it was 2 a.m. You were a bit shook up.
Oh, I was very shook up.
You were back at your hotel. You had a beer and you had your shoes and socks off with your feet in the soil.
Yes.
Because you were trying to rid the spirit from your feet, right?
That's what they said. They said to walk afterwards, you have to take your shoes and socks off and ground yourself and walk around in the soil, not on concrete or anything. It has to be on soil to ground yourself and to help cleanse yourself and get rid of the spirits. So I was having to do that at 2 a.m.
Wow.
And also, you didn't see, but I also lit one of the cigarettes just to – like share, I don't smoke, but I just lit one having a smoke and a beer with the spirits just to let them know that I was a cool guy.
and then the other thing was, did you ever get to the bottom of, because you were like, my head's swelling and I'm getting all headachy, but then at the same time you thought, am I wearing my hat too tight and have I got hat hair?
I couldn't tell.
So do you get that often?
Yes, I do.
Do you get massive headaches from your hats?
Sometimes.
Squeezing your head?
You know why? He puts hats on too tight because he thinks his head is quite large. So he's always trying to make it look smaller by wearing smaller hats. I know what he's like. And then he suffers from migraines because of it.
I have to have my baseball caps on the very, very last little one click. On the.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it.
And even then, it's still too tight. Gives me little headaches every now and then. So I don't know if something's attached itself to me. And that's why when the Zoom dropped out, I'm like, oh no, is this like the curse? The curse of Skinwalker Ranch.
The curse continues.
Oh my God. Yeah. Do you know who comes out coolest in this story? Do you know who's the absolute winner in this story?
Loyal Brown Pet.
No, your wife. I can't believe you have a wife that allows you just to go to Boston for a meeting. It doesn't happen. And you're just like, I'm going to a UFO conference. I'm going to hire a Porsche. I'm going to just stay here for a week.
That's so
true. You got
the
coolest wife in the world.
You know what?
You got four kids. What are you doing? You got to fly back to New Zealand. Your meeting's cancelled.
I actually do because you know what? She called me whilst I'm driving in the pitch black with three female hitchhikers and a whole bunch of groceries packed into a Porsche. And she calls me and she goes, hey, hon, how's it going? And I'm like, on speakerphone so everybody can hear in the car because I'm obviously driving. I'm like, oh, good, hon. I've got three women hitchhikers in the car and a bunch of groceries. And she's like, bullshit, you do not. And they were like, yes, he actually does.
Oh, my God.
Send help, please. We're not sure where he's going. And one of us had to be in the boot. You okay, hon?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. It's all going well.
Don't worry about that noise. It's all good.
Look, can I definitely give you my number? Because I'm just not too sure about where this is going.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Can we be Facebook friends?
Wow, that's awesome.
Amazing adventure. Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy listening to that again once you've edited that down. Now, let's move on to everyone's favourite segment. It's been too long. We need to get into it. I'm excited for it. So here it is. It's
Dan's update. What have you been up to, Dan?
No!
What?
No, what? Honestly, we haven't got time.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
Let's do some headlines. Dan, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. I have a bunch of headlines. Here's one option, and we'll come back around in the circuit. Someone has caught the Sphinx in Egypt while it was blinking.
What?
Caught it on camera.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, my God. What have you got, Reese?
Well, I've got astronomers pick up a mysterious radio signal from an unknown source.
Oh, hello. Well, I've got, in a very similar vein, we've finally found out what a black hole sounds like, and we've got the audio here to play.
Oh, well, that really does tie in with mine, because I've got audio to play as well, this radio signal. So let's do the fun one first, because it's quite a slog trying to get through that that later story of yours. so yeah, let's do the blinking sphinx and go from there.
Yeah, so it's kind of what it says on the tin, really. Someone took a photo. It looks like the sphinx has suddenly shut her eyes. And then the next photo shows it open again. So the suggestion is, because there's always this thought that the sphinx is a living creature that's sort of been stuck as a statue. People are constantly trying to find whether or not there's movement or anything about it. You know, just part of a nice little mythology. And so someone's just taken this photo where it does look like the eyes are suddenly shut. What they think it might be is that it's a lighting source thing that just makes it look as if it's shut all of a sudden.
Right.
So here we go. So look at that. The eyelids are shut.
What?
Oh.
They are fully shut.
Yeah.
How is that?
I need reference on them being open.
I can't remember what they look like open either.
It's like it's not blinking. It's like it's sleeping. The eyes are...
It's having a sleep, yeah.
So here's what they look like normally.
Okay. Right.
I've got to be honest, not too dissimilar. So I don't know whether you guys thought there was actual googly eyes or... you know, there isn't. It's just like slight indents in the stonework. No different to that video. What else have you got, Dan?
Hang on. Because you can see the sort of pupils in the Sphinx usually.
You can, yeah. I'm looking at an image right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can see like the little eyeballs.
So here we go. You can see there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. Well, that's a good image there. So you can see the pupils. That's weird.
It does look like it is closed.
It really does.
Is that actually the Sphinx? Because it looks very decrepit. The nose is missing.
It's very worse for wear. Very worse for wear. What, like, some of the legends around the Sphinx, though, there are a lot of ufology claims in and around its origins, right? Like ancient alien stuff for sure.
Hey, but wait a second. Know, while you're still talking, because when you talk, I get ideas. I'm going to, I'll be back in a minute. You keep going on that tangent.
What? Where is he going? It's literally, I've made him go away.
What were you saying?
Well, I was reading about, you know, because obviously there's a lot of discussion around the purpose of the Great Pyramids of Giza. The people say that was ancient alien, that it could be ancient technology.
You guys, is he still rambling on?
Well, you told me to!
Yeah.
No, good. Now that's good.
Weird is he backtracked and he just started saying the thing he said while you were here before, and you've literally come back in at the spot you left. It's like a weird...
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Good. That's good for editing. Get rid of all of that.
I'm out of practice.
Now, look, here's the thing. This is going to blow both of your minds.
Yeah.
About synchronicity. We've had the yellow submarine at the start of the show, I don't wish it was a lie, because then it wouldn't be what it is, which is amazing. But this is the book that I'm reading at night and have been for the last month, right next to my bed. And I can't believe I didn't bring this up earlier, but I just suddenly had that thought and went and got it. This is the book I've been reading.
Oh, come on!
The Eyes of the Sphinx. Eric von Daniken.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Can you see its eyeballs in the front cover?
Kind of, but not really. Kind of,
yeah.
I think I've got that one.
I can, yeah.
But I'm literally reading the book, The Eyes of the Sphinx.
And what is it about?
What do you think? It's about the eyes of the Sphinx. It's actually not just about that. In fact, he barely mentions it, to be honest. I think it's just a good title.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one other weird thing, just while we're on synchronicity. When I first joined the Cryptid Factor, mm-hmm. I came to LA because we were going to do some filming. I'd never been with you both in a room before, and we went to Borders, the bookshop, and the very first book I bought while I was hanging out with you guys was that book in that shop.
Really? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's our book.
That's amazing.
Book.
Wow.
And that's really funny because I don't relate to any of that, so I've got nothing, no synchronicity. So there's a lot of synchronicity between you two.
You say that, but right. I've got another mind-blowing event here with regards to the book.
Yeah.
I open up the book, and it's actually to the Kirkbeck.
No!
This book's for you.
Signed by von Daniken.
How did you get a book signed to my family by Eric von Däniken? Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. Unbelievable.
You're stealing my books.
This is the greatest comeback show of all time.
The synchronicity. I was feeling left out there. And then I just came triumphantly through with a great big bit of synchronicity that I didn't even know.
Yeah, you finished the whole thing.
That was insane.
You're the answer to it all. Eric signed this for you, so you're the finish to it. You're the plug.
Oh, my God. That was, what a reveal. That was like when you see America's Got Talent and there's a magician on, and then they do the whole trick, and they're just like, one more thing, Simon, look inside your top pocket, and you pull out, and it's got the name written down. Like, it's not only Leon's name, but it's written by Eric von Däniken.
Yeah. We just did the geeky cryptozoology version of that great magician's trick.
I reckon amazing. Reese went outside and went, I'll get this book. I'll pretend I'm reading it. What else would be mind-blowing? Oh, actually, if it looks like it was signed by Eric von Däniken. Sleight of hand.
Just for the listeners out there, just further proof, I'm not even in my house right now. We are at an Airbnb. We're in another location.
Oh, you are.
So wow. You know that I'm not just getting books off my shelf. So that's all true.
Wow.
Wow, what a fantastic start to the show. I mean, actually, the start of the show was earlier, and that was not fantastic. What a great middle section of the show.
And that's just one news story in. Imagine the synchronicity that's yet to come with the next news stories.
Unfortunately, we don't have much more time, so we're going to rush into my piece now.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll let you be the big finisher, Buttons. So my news, here it is. Astronomers pick up a mysterious radio signal from an unknown source. Mm. Astronomers in Australia have discovered a strange radio source, and nobody knows what it could be. The mystery signal, which was detected during observations of a spiral galaxy known as NGC 2082, was reported by a team of astronomers headed up by Joel Balzahn of Western Sydney University. It manifested as a strong point radio source in data from the Australian Square Kilometre Array Pathfinder, the Australia Telescope Compact Array, and the Parkes Radio Telescope. Everyone knows about the Parkes Radio Telescope. Yeah. That's the most famous one.
Yeah, that's where the dish that took the signal of the moon landing came into.
Exactly. That's it. The galaxy that was being observed is situated 66 million light years away and measures approximately 33,000 light years across. Wow.
Wow.
How do they come up with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they probably just write that down, but that sounds legit. That's a long way. While the nature and origin of the mysterious radio source remains unknown, it's important not to jump to conclusions. Most unexplained sources turn out to be pulsars, nebulae, quasars, and other similar objects. So there's no immediate reason to jump to an extraterrestrial interpretation. Or is there? Says Rhys Darby.
Montague Darby.
Montague! I think there is, because, guys, I have the actual radio signal here. I've got a recording and I'm going to play it for you now.
Wow.
Okay, here we go.
Come in, Cryptid Factor. Come in, Cryptid Factor. We need three space rangers. Robot space rangers. Please, SOS.
All
right, quiet.
Oh,
not
that.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow.
What do you think?
What do we think? We're being called up. This is our moment.
I think it's time for the robot space rangers to finally do something.
Do something. Do anything. Oh, man. That is incredible.
I mean, we have to listen to it again. I think it definitely sounded like it was for us.
Well, yeah.
Oh, hang on. Look, I've just read this report here. There's actually, oh, God, there's another message here. Let's just listen to this one.
Oh.
Tonga 281, taxi north of Tower 2 West Slopes, 1 time.
No, well, that doesn't make much sense, that one.
That just sounds like you've accidentally picked up something from the LAX
control tower.
Local police, yeah.
Hey, let's listen to this. There's a third one on here. Let's just listen to this.
Okay.
Attention, attention, all universe. Our flag means death has been renewed for a second season. I repeat, our flag means death has been renewed for a second season.
Wow!
Wow. Intergalactic news.
That's awesome. That's
amazing. The galaxy is...
No wonder you won that award. You had the universe voting for you. Yeah. Four other people involved.
You cheeky bastard.
They only had Earthlings.
66 million light years away. People are jumping up and down with excitement. It's like that scene from Star Wars where they show all the different planets and everyone's jumping up and down.
I love the fact that there's the equivalent of a town crier, but like a universe crier going, "Hear ye, hear ye! Our flag means death has been renewed."
Yeah. I like as well the first video that we heard. It felt like it was a cameo. You know that app where you can get celebrities, you pay them, and they like, "Hey, Reese Montague Darby, how you doing? You know, my friend tells me you're a fan. Like, how cool would that be for like, I've bought you a cameo from the, you know, star system Betelgeuse, and it's this random planet. You know, holy everybody! You know, that's so cool.
Just a little bit of extra cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, unfortunately, my piece of news is just an actual piece of audio from an actual black hole.
So what does it mean? How do we pick up the sound of a black hole when it's so far away?
Well, like,
is it converted radio waves?
It's kind of. So basically, this is actually, when they say it's brand new audio, it's actually from data that was collected over 10 years ago.
Right. From sound that's probably like, how long does sound travel for?
Yeah.
The light we see from stars are however long old, right?
Well, that's exactly right. It's 240 million light years away, this black hole, from the Perseus galaxy cluster.
Right.
So you're right. It's 240 million years old.
Hey, Buttons.
This sound.
I hear you're a big fan of me, Black Hole, just sending you a message. On,
you've got the audio as well. That's so weird.
Anyway, great. Thanks for buying this cameo. I hear your podcast is a big fan of black holes.
Well, that's pretty much what it is. But the data collected close to 20 years ago, they finally sort of realized that the data that they collected for imagery also was the data that could be turned into audio. The problem is the audio, they figured out the sound of this black hole is in B flat, but 57 octaves below middle C.
Oh, wow. You can't hear it. It's like a big bass noise, right?
That's right. We can't hear it. So they've pitched it up. Hmm. And it's just funny because, again, in a little bit of synchronicity, one of Reese Darby's most favored sound effects, the creaking door.
Oh, no.
They say that this piece of audio is like a creaking door opening. And so here we go. You ready?
That's
are you ready to
freaky.
Hear this?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I am the voice of the Mysterons.
What do you think? That's the sound of a black hole.
I think you've got no idea what Reese's door opening sound sounds like. Because
well, no, that's just what
Yeah, who are these people? Have they heard what my door sounds like? It doesn't sound like they
you
have.
Do your door opening sound, Reese.
Okay, this is the creaking door. Here we go.
Hello? Mr. Kirkbeck? I've got a missing daughter. a granddaughter. She last seen in your boot. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was out the back.
Close the door to that room, please. That's an embarrassing room. Actually, the Porsche door did sound a little bit like that after I had finished with it. So
at the end.
That's a vehicle. Anyway, so that's what a black hole sounds like.
Is that the first time we've ever got that? Is that the first ever black hole? Wow. Yeah. Cool.
It did sound quite freaky. I liked it.
Yeah, it is awesome. Actually what you would imagine if you were sitting there on the event horizon about to go in. That is pretty much what you'd expect to hear as well, right? It's pretty much bad.
Wow. But you can't hear anything in space, though, right?
That's the other point.
So what you need is an iPod with preloaded Rhys Darby door creaking sounds just to play exactly. As you're headed in.
Hello, this is Rhys Darby here. Welcome to space. You've got the audio tape. It looks like you're heading towards a black hole now. If that's correct, push one. Excellent. Good. And congratulations on getting this far. All right. So here's your sound. And hopefully you're just entering it now. This is what you're after. Here we go. Right. You're through? Once you get through, let us know, because track 3 is really exciting. It's landing on a new world. So give us a shout if you need that. That is an extra tape.
Which, funnily enough, sounds exactly like a creaky door opening as well. As does the rings of Saturn. As does the landing on the moon.
I bought this tape on special. It was at a garage sale. The noises of the universe. I'm heading off into space next month. And I've got to say, all six recordings sound like a creaky door. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry. Are you in space now, are you? Are you just calling up to complain or?
Yeah, I've left the planet. I'm heading towards a black hole, and I played the tape just to check it out beforehand. It's basically that comedian narrating it, and then he does various doors opening. All sound the same.
Right. So what are you after?
Well, I just want a refund.
Well, you've left the planet. What do you want me to do?
Well, for a start, I'm blown away I can get such good reception to you. Where are you?
I'm on my ranch. Skinwalker Ranch.
What the hell? Is that you, Nancy?
Yeah.
And Loyal Brown Pitt's sister, Nancy Brown Pitt.
Nancy Brown Pitt.
I mean, that's my, but you know my code name. Yeah. You know it.
Loyal Brown Pitt.
Pitt. It's Pitt.
Right. Oh, there's an asteroid coming. I've got to go.
I love that where you have the recording of the first ever consumer complaint of a garage sale purchase gone wrong. Oh, God. Hey, one thing I wanted to do that we haven't done for a long time, because there's lots of news in it before we go to cryptid news, is to do some robot news.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so super quickly, I'll go through these really fast. They've taken one of the robot dogs, Rhys, that you and I saw on one of our shoots once.
Yeah, Spot.
Spot, yes. Spot, they have sent into a zoo to see how animals would react to it, and like walked it around cheetahs and lions and what have you, just to see. And they have, you know, all the animals, as you can imagine, all freak out and run away from it.
Oh, they do?
So that's nice. But that's the US end of the scale, right, which was Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
So on the other end of the scale, Japan have just released one of their new autonomous robots. This robot is a lot more exciting, I think, than a dog, because Japan have made a robot shaped like a goat that is designed to transport heavy loads. And I'm going to show you the video now. And it's not awesome. Only does this robot carry heavy loads, you can also ride it yourself, like literally sit on it.
That's amazing.
Whoa.
Oh, my God, look at that.
And it's got handlebars, and it's got this awesome ass head with big
That's
horns.
That's more like a deer.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's a big goat.
That's a big goat. You can sit on it, and it obviously walks itself around, and it is beautiful. But look at all the heavy load that it can lift. And so for a practical use of a robot, making a goat, one of the most nimble animals out there. I think it's genius. So
it's amazing.
It's great because it's got a big back on it. So the part that you would sit on, you know, where you would put a saddle, that part of the animal, it's solid enough and wide enough to carry larger loads than the dog bot. And because of the handles on the neck, it reminds me of one of those ride-on things you get outside the dairy. You know, you put 50 cents in and it goes...
Oh, Mum! One more go?
All right, well, I've got to get going in a minute. There you go.
There's a bit of nostalgia.
That's basically what it's going to be reduced to.
Wow, that's so cool.
Neat, eh? And the final part of robot news is that the Chinese University of Hong Kong have developed a slimy, soft, black robot, which is effectively just a goo, which is designed to enter the human body and go and like get things out. If you swallow something that shouldn't be in there, it can actually go in, this goo can go in, and they can control this robot goo to go and collect things in, inside your stomach.
Oh, that is horrific.
It is actually horrific. They've got shown in a video now of it flipping and flopping through a pretend stomach, and they control this goo to make any shape.
That was Pac-Man. We can have Pac-Man inside our bodies?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, then it rolls up and heads off, does it?
That's it. That's it.
That literally is like slime you used to buy in the 80s in those little green cans.
Yeah.
It's more horrifying. It's like something out of Stranger Things as well.
The Pac-Man comment that I just made is that this goo turned itself into sort of almost having a mouth like Pac-Man.
And then ate the object that it was looking for.
Yeah, it ate the ghost.
And covered it up, rolled itself up again, and is now heading back. I think it's probably great, but I just... trying to convince someone that might have accidentally swallowed a piece of Lego that now, don't panic, you're not going to die. What we need to do is just insert this black slime into your mouth and it's going to go down your jugular and it's going to try and find the piece of Lego, eat it and pull itself back out again, all right? Trust us with this, okay?
Yeah.
I just think people would be like, no, don't you get that away from me. I'll die from the Lego, please.
Exactly. But also people are drawing the comparison to, there was an alien goo that eventually becomes Venom, the comic book creature character. That was effectively the same thing. It was sort of like a strange goo that became that dude.
Or the X-Files black goo.
Oh, yes.
The one that the Billy Connolly movie one of the X-Files.
That's right.
It's a sentient black goo that comes and, takes
That's
over.
That's exactly what it is. But the other terrifying thing is that you can actually chop it up into bits to try and kill it. It just all comes back together again and creates the same goo.
It's just so scary that we're actually making things that we see in science fiction horror movies. Now we can. Now it's just like we're copying them. It's like life imitating art. Anything we can imagine, we can make. And I see that you've got a little picture there of the little robot in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really cute. That picture went viral. And... I saw one of those today. I've seen two in 2 weeks, these delivery robots.
Yeah.
Because it could be because I'm in a different part of town at the moment, but I just saw one on my way back from the corner store, and there was a guy next to it, and I wasn't sure because I wanted to go and have a look. It's got eyes, and the eyes like blink.
No.
It's got funny little cartoon eyes, and he's like, it's just like a little delivery robot that's obviously heading somewhere, and there was some dude standing next to it, and I was wondering what he was... Was he trying to interfere with it, or did he have an actual remote in his hand and he was steering it? I couldn't really work it out, but I didn't.
Point. I've often wondered whether or not they could take the weight of a human, and whether or not you could actually, if you're just a bit tired, you could also
sit
order
on one
of things, sit on it, and like have it take you to your next meeting. Yeah,
yeah. I think they'd have a little alarm systems on there with extra weight, and just would like stop.
Yeah. It's worth a go. Somebody write in if they've tried to sit on it.
And this particular, because we can see the photo, but this particular story was a robot got lost in a British forest or something. Like some people were walking down and they just found a wandering robot. Is that it?
That's it. Yeah, a guy riding through the woods in England, Northampton, And he's just out of nowhere, this little delivery robot's just heading down a little forest path, and he took a photo of it and shared it. But it does beg the question, like, what was this robot doing there? Have they got a secret society in the woods and they sneak in there and all meet up and they're all, you know, planning to take over the world? And
yeah, we're creating the robots. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. They're like, there's some sort of hidden base there where they're all going, either that or somebody like a Sasquatch or some kind of creature in the bush, some sort of bushman is like, actually, I actually really want a burger. And has found a way to be able to order.
Cryptid doing Deliveroo is what you're saying.
That's yes. Awesome. Yeah, where's every chance, right? What else would it be doing there?
Uber Eats.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the latest from Robot News.
Woohoo!
Great Robot News.
I think we're all up to date on the robotic kingdom.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the kingdom we're supposed to be talking about, cryptozoology.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. help me!
We might have time for a couple of those stories before we head off. I was supposed to pick up the kids, but Rosie's gone now.
Uh-oh.
You know, she's grumpy, but it'll be worth it.
Let's hope so. Now there's pressure on the scripted news being worth you being told off.
It better be good. Still have to finish in enough time to go and buy some flowers or something from the service station before she gets back.
Well, what have we got?
Okay, I got a blockbuster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dan's come through.
The cryptids, out of place animals. That's, you know, the definition. Yep. It's not always your classic Bigfoots or your Yetis.
Yeah.
There's a new book that's come out, which is called Between Ape and Human. Now, this is a guy who's written it called Gregory Forth. He's a former professor of anthropology at the University of Alberta. And he has put forward a theory that he believes that we are not the only human species still living on this planet. He thinks that in the jungles of Indonesia, there is another species of hominid, of early human, that was supposedly extinct about 70,000 years ago, who are still alive and hiding from us in this jungle. And that's what he's put out as his new book, which has just been released. So this is Homo Florentus. This is what was known as the Hobbit.
Yes.
You know, when there was all that story, we found these bones of these humans and they were hobbit-sized. And it just so happened that when the discovery happened, there was a Lord of the Rings movie coming out. They worked out that Tolkien said that the height of a hobbit matched exactly the height of this other species of early human, as it were.
Yeah.
So it got nicknamed the Hobbit, which was a big problem because any time that anyone was doing a talk about it, Peter Jackson's company were telling them they were not allowed to do it, along with the Tolkien estate, saying, you can't just go around saying Hobbit, we own that.
You can't use that word.
Can't use that word. Anyway, he believes, based on all of the accounts of all the local tribes and peoples that live in the area, that this is not an extinct species, that it's still out there. And he has he's gathered together all of the contemporary accounts of it, and he thinks either it's just gone extinct in like the last couple of decades, or they're definitely still there, just hiding from us.
Wow, that's exciting.
That's really exciting.
Because, you know, we supposedly, as Homo sapiens, we killed the Neanderthals. We killed Homo Florentus. Mm. We killed them all. We were on a planet with all of these other things, and we wiped out all of our cousins. So the idea that there's one other cousin still hanging out there in this jungle.
You say one other cousin, but then of course there's also the Sasquatches. What if that's another
that's a good point.
Of hominids that are still alive, clearly?
Yeah.
Gigantopithecus, you know, that, which is one of the theories of what they are. So it totally makes sense that, you know, the power of the Homo sapien to be able to just wipe out whatever is around them so that we're the dominant species, which is what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there could still be pockets, like you say, Dan, of other species that have well hidden.
Just imagine it.
And fair enough, they would be terrified of us as well. They're like, there's those buddy sapiens, quick hide. You know, because they've wiped out everybody else and now become technologically advanced.
Do you have any more evidence put forth as to why he believes that they're still alive?
Well, so he's been spending his time with this group of people called the Lio, L-I-O, and they've described an animal that was like a human,
but not quite a human. And when he looked into it, he found 30 eyewitnesses. He interviewed each of them. And his conclusion is that they must have survived, or they've gone extinct in the window of the last few decades. So his book is coming out really soon. It's not out yet. And apparently all the reviewers are saying that he makes a call at the end, which is kind of a bit of a mind-blowing thesis right at the end, an idea.
Really?
So, I'm looking forward to it. It's called Between Ape and Human. And just a sideline thing, as I was looking into him, he actually, this is his, I think, second book. His previous book won a very exciting prize called the Diagram Prize, and he won it in 2020. And it's a prize that recognized books with the weirdest titles. So he won weirdest title with his book called A Dog Pissing at the Edge of a Path.
What a great title!
Yeah, previous winners of this very same prize include a book that was called Managing a Dental Practice, The Genghis Khan Way, The Stray Shopping Carts of Eastern North America. There's The Commuter Pig Keeper, a comprehensive guide for keeping pigs when time is your most precious commodity. So, you know, he's in the leagues of very exciting book titles. But yeah, I just think this is one of those fun things that, if true, will just change everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to get that book because I'm excited about the idea of perhaps going on an expedition. Is it Indonesia?
Yeah. Let's
Indonesia.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of untapped areas there and it is quite dangerous too. So I think maybe we should take some of those robots, you know, the delivery robots to protect
to
us.
To sit on. Imagine that. So go.
Well, my idea is that we hide inside them.
Ah, like a Trojan goat.
Exactly. We have to take the goat as well. Yeah, the delivery robots with the wheels. Yeah. We'll take three of those so we can hide in them and put our bags and everything on top of that. And then we'll also take the robotic goat, which I think we might need to arm with some cannons.
To wipe out the other cousins, because, you know, we can't let them take over. We've got to take them out.
No, just for protection.
From the other cousins. They're going to be angry at us, man. Then we've wiped out everybody else.
Imagine if we pop out of these robot delivery things, like birthday cake celebration pop-outs. Yeah. Surprise! Surprise!
The hominids will be like, ah, what? Where's the burgers? We ordered the burgers on the delivery robots. What are you guys doing in here?
Yeah, Jeff, get off that goat. It's not a ride-on. Get off.
Oh, whatever, go in the gate. Hey, what do these cannons do?
Hey, stop it! Oh my God, you've just killed us. We're all dead now.
If you weren't extinct before, you are now. Good on you. Well done.
Nice one, Jeff.
Well, what an expedition we have to look forward to. That's really exciting.
That's good. So really, that was just, I mean, it was, you sounded like it was a groundbreaking, huge news. Really, he's just promoting some dude's book.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so now move on to, what have you got, Buttons?
Well, the wee little bit of cryptid news that I found is not actually really cryptid news, as it is the cryptids becoming more and more popular, and the fact that the World Athletics Championships are coming up in Oregon very shortly, in just over a month. And they've chosen their mascot, and their mascot is a Bigfoot, which is great.
Oh,
and the Bigfoot is called Legend. So it's Legend the
great
Bigfoot.
Name.
And they've created a mascot, and they've created somebody who's going to run around in this Bigfoot suit. Now, the only problem that I have with this is I'm just going to share with you what the mascot looks like. Now, picture in your head what Bigfoot looks like, right? Give me some descriptors of what you think Bigfoot might look like.
7 foot tall plus, you know.
Entirely hairy.
Yeah. A big head.
Yeah.
Basically, he can't get his cap on. Has to go to the last adjustment on his cap because he's got such a huge skull. He often gets migraines. Yeah,
feet in the soil,
long arms.
But thank you.
Drives a Porsche,
driving other people's Porsches, picking up people in a dodgy manner, and hanging outside.
Okay, I see where this is going. Okay, look at what the wonderful creative people at Oregon have come up with for their Bigfoot. It's first of all yellow. I don't know how many yellow ones. It's got like coloured mohawk. It's got big goggly eyes.
Oh yeah,
and it's wearing a sporty singlet. But it's got sort of an upside down smile with great big fangs. And well, in my mind, I think they could have done a lot better.
I think though, it's really fun looking. It's
yeah, I like
cute,
it.
And you know, you don't want to do something too horrifically realistic and scary, do you? As your mascot, you want something like this.
Well, that's I guess so. But it's just awesome that they are using Bigfoot and popularizing Bigfoot as a mascot. Yeah. I think that's great.
I hope they get a really tall dude to put it on. Yeah. I have to.
Yeah.
So is Oregon known massively as a Bigfoot state?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's a very wet and incredibly dense forest and really wet and dense. Wet and dense. I'm struggling for other.
Can I just confirm that your cryptid news was about a furry mascot that some dude's going to wear at a sports game?
Yes. It's just that it's.
Hang on, how long have we been off air? Is it like 6 months or something?
6 months.
And that's the cryptid news you came up with.
Well, I just. When I typed in Bigfoot news, that came up, and I was like, whack it.
Oh, that'll do.
To be honest, I did it 10 minutes before we went on, but that's... come on, guys. Isn't that cute?
It's so cute. It's just cute. I've got some proper good eyewitness account. Bipedal dog-like creature photographed outside zoo.
Dog man.
How does that sound?
That, wow.
More exciting than a mascot that looks like a cartoon from Hanna-Barbera.
Well, I haven't finished yet my story. There's also some more information about World Athletics. Do you want me to share that, or you know?
No. I think your story started with there's a World Athletics Championships coming up, and I thought, oh my god, what is this sports? What are we doing here?
Sports news. Yeah.
Is that a new segment?
I'm just going to finish with some sports updates.
Okay, here we go. Check that out.
Oh, yeah. That's an actual, they've got footage of it too.
So this is just a photograph posted on Reddit. The user is Seagoo1N. He's certainly generated some debate in recent days. However, the authenticity remains a topic of contention. And I think you'll see why. Look at those legs.
Well, it's obviously a picture behind a chain link fence, like a security fence. So it's already pixelated. It does actually look like the face of a dog that is turned to look through the security fence at a security camera. And it looks it looks like there's a mane behind that head and some big long kind of arms. And the thing that really makes it look like a dog is the fact that the hind legs are bent, or the back legs. So it's not like a straight up and down humanoid. Yes. It sort of comes down, and it actually, imagine if your dog is sort of dancing on its hind legs for a little treaty when the back legs are sort of bent. It's very much like that, isn't it? So maybe this dog man's trying to get a treaty that he's just out of camera.
But the leg in front goes really high up if you follow just the color.
Yeah, that's
white,
true. Yeah.
Which is, no, just like, I'm sure it stops somewhere, but like that's not there. But you just wonder what kind of manipulation of light are we seeing here that is doing that. I like the idea that it's looking, because if it's looking towards us, then that's sort of a inverse of Patty, the Bigfoot, the pose, the walking pose.
The old turnaround.
Yeah, with the arm behind. I love it.
See, I didn't think that it was looking at us. I thought it was looking straight ahead in the direction it's going.
Yeah, it does look like that as well, doesn't it?
Because I thought that was the snout.
It's got like a Wile E. Coyote face if it's looking forward. Yeah,
it's intriguing. But you know what? Most people think it's a costume or a furry. Well, that's what people are saying on Reddit. You know, those furries people dress up.
But the legs wouldn't go like that. You'd be standing straight up and down if it was somebody dressed up. That's what gets me, is the back legs are sort of bent, almost sort of like a dog's back legs. It'd be very hard for somebody to stand, squat kind of like that and get that.
So what do you think it is, Buttons?
Well, I think it could well be Dogman, because the Dogman sightings have popped up over, you know, the last few decades. It's usually Michigan. Dogman was a Chicago, so it's Michigan folklore. First seen, I think, like in the late 1800s. The 7-foot-tall dog-like creature. There's been people have captured images of this dog-like human-sized thing that gets around on hind legs for a really long time. So it could well be that. But whereabouts was this captured? Which part?
So that fence line there, this, according to the uploader, the image was captured by a game camera which happened to be covering the perimeter fence of Amarillo Zoo in Texas. So it's right up at the zoo.
Wow.
Well, the thing with zoos is that there's always so much noise from animals that it would bring other animals to the fence line to figure out what's going on there, whether they be prey or food or just fascination with other animal species. You know, you can, and the smells that must come from zoos, you know, it would draw other animals right up to the zoo line. And this is what could have happened here.
Yeah.
Thinking about that image there, if you were to see someone in the night dressed or looking like that, looking like a creature, but walking like in a bipedal fashion, your first instinct would be that it's got to be a furry or, you know, someone dressed in a mascot thing or just a costume, basically a costume. It's the first thing you've got to think, because it just doesn't make any sense in any other way, because it's not a known animal.
Yeah.
Wait, is it possible that that was the Bigfoot mascot just walking towards the athletics chat?
Trying it out for size, getting ready for the athletics.
The guy that's actually gone for the contract of wearing the new Bigfoot mascot costume also works at the zoo. So he's doubling up on his jobs, and he got a call at the last minute. All right, you've done your mascotting. I need you to get down to the perimeter fence and just check that area.
get down to Texas. Yeah, I know it's a few hours drive away. Get down there and check that perimeter fence. Pop back up. Get ready for the kids' hospital visit in the morning.
Oh, God.
Well, it says here, if you look at the Michigan Dogman, it says the creature is described as 7 foot tall, much like the mascot, blue-eyed or amber-eyed bipedal canine-like creature with the torso of a man and a fearsome howl that sounds like a human scream. According to legends, the Michigan Dogman appears in a 10-year cycle that falls on years ending in 7. So we're a little bit out.
That's so interesting. I wonder why, what the 7 thing is. I love that when you just hear a casual, like, really bizarre thing. Like, there's going to be, if we look into that, a whole story of how that's got its own sort of separate logic.
I know.
I'm going to look into that. I'll bring that to next week's show.
I have a Bigfoot sighting, a recent one here that we should probably go into as well. Yeah. It's been a while, and this comes from Matt Moneymaker, who put it on Twitter. And this was very recent. He says, attention New York and Pennsylvania Bigfoot researchers. Recent daylight sighting. I love daylight sightings. Yeah. By a turkey hunter 2 miles southwest of Irwin. This was on May 17th. And a report has been filled out. And I can read it here from the BFRO website. Observed the town of Irwin, New York State, where this chap was hunting spring turkeys. He says, I was sitting at the base of a tree location at the top of a ridge line that connected to another ridge. I was calling gobbler turkeys, which is apparently a thing that you do. I don't know. Do you hunt turkeys? You must do. Okay. Oh, of course. Otherwise, I mean, they don't just come to you, do they? I thought you just normally, well, you'd go and buy them. But obviously, in rural areas, you actually, they've got to come from somewhere. And then this chap was doing that. They were apparently on their roost trees. So they must go in these trees to roost turkeys. I don't know much about turkeys, although they are all over the world.
You're finding out real fast.
I'm really finding out real fast now.
But they sit in trees. Like, you look at them and you're like, how did you get up there? We have them in Sydney near where my parents live. And you walk out the house and they're just 10 foot up a tree. You just like, what? How did that happen? So yeah, they're amazing.
They must roost up there to keep away from the dangers. And the fact that, you know, they're wild, they're a wild animal. It's just the turkeys, it's got a weird connotation. But that's all an aside.
Was this a turkey sighting or a Sasquatch sighting? What are we covering up here? Well, what? Should we go back to my mascot story?
Anyway, he's got photographic evidence of these turkeys. And so... So they're a real thing, guys.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's quite astonishing.
That's amazing.
But also, here's the best bit. I was still sitting at the base of the tree, having not moved location for half an hour, when I noticed something walking on two legs approximately 75 yards away. The thing was about 7 feet tall. I first thought maybe another human was there hunting, but then it was apparent to me it was dark reddish brown from head to feet.
Wow.
This thing was in my view of sight for about 4 to 5 seconds and then went behind a tree, and that was the last I seen it. Then, about 15 minutes later, he says, to my left, approximately 30 yards, an object hit a tree about 25 feet up in the tree, and then the object that hit the tree hit the ground and it sounded like a rock.
Oh.
So,
classic.
You know how they throw rocks?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a really cool, credible sighting eyewitness report here. He says he's hunted in New York for 42 years and has never witnessed anything like this before.
Cool. Wow.
So I think the fact that it was very brief, he saw reddish brown, it was definitely 7 feet tall, it was quite close to him, 75 yards away, he says, and then you get the rock thing, which is what they do. They communicate through bashing, but they throw rocks. Legendary that they throw rocks to ward you away as a warning. So clearly when he hid behind the tree, he must have noticed the human hunter. So that's quite a cool sighting.
That is a cool sighting.
That's a really cool sighting.
Hey, do you guys remember when we were in Illinois? I think we were probably in Shelbyville. And we were in a secondhand bookshop and we decided to interview the woman behind the counter. And we said, have you ever seen the Thunderbird, which is what we were looking for on our expedition?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I haven't. But I did see a Cousin It looking like character.
Yeah. That's right.
Across the street. And she said that she saw, like, if you can picture Cousin It from the Addams Family, that's what she saw across the street. And she was like, and that was a mystery. And it was that great thing of everyone we asked, everyone was like, no, I haven't seen the Thunderbird, but I have seen this, like, and then crazy sighting. Anyway, there's a story in the news, which is someone's caught on their camera, CCTV, what looks like a Cousin It cryptid, basically. What? And there's a bit of footage, so I'll play you the bit of footage here.
In which country?
This is in California. So here we go. Look for the bottom corner of the screen here.
Oh,
wow. Oh, that is incredible.
That was total Cousin It.
It's like a little gremlin, like baby Cousin It, walking along.
So Jen, just to explain it, we're looking at a black and white security cam nest footage looking out at the backyard of somebody's house. And right down in the bottom right-hand corner is... what is exactly that? Unmistakably a little, like, Cousin It. Like, it looks like a hairy, shiny kind of little thing, which is more hair than limbs. And it waddles, much like kind of a womble.
Yeah.
You don't see any arms. You just see two little legs. And it just pops in and then pops out. It actually looks really cute, if I could put it as that.
It does look really cute.
Really weird the way it turned as well. It was quite a bizarre... like almost waddling, isn't it? Yeah. So a waddling, weird, non-human turning movement.
So the explanation that people seem to be saying online, because everyone's got a attempt at trying to work out what it is that it's a hand-standing skunk.
Ah.
Which apparently is a thing that skunks do. They sometimes do a nice old handstand, and they just go for a walk. And so the thought is that that's
what you're seeing here. I don't believe that. Yes,
come on.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you look at the title of the video, it's Skunk Handstand Walking Spotted in Rocher Canyon.
So you're telling me a skunk is doing a handstand and then walking in that stance?
Apparently for no reason in the middle of the night, it is, yes, doing a handstand.
Come on! That's ridiculous.
That's
less believable than it being a cryptid from another dimension.
Okay, here we go. I've just typed in handstand skunk.
Yeah.
Look at this. There is videos countless videos of skunks walking on their hands.
Let's see what it looks like. Let's see if it's got waddles.
We're watching a full BBC documentary here.
And a whole bunch of people breakdancing.
Oh, here we go. Oh, there he is.
Oh, it really does. What do we think? They're showing a skunk walking around.
Why is it breakdancing? Why is it doing it with breakdancing?
This BBC doco was basically to show the comparison of a handstanding skunk. They're showing a bunch of street kids doing a bunch of tagging and breakdancing.
But with the skunk. The skunk, it's not like extra footage. The skunk is there.
So they do it. It's a thing.
Okay. Well, they do it, but was that what we saw? Is that what we were looking at?
It's a very different creature to me.
Yeah,
that's
it
true.
Looked very cousinity.
Look, here's another night vision camera with another skunk doing the same thing up on his, doing a handstand.
Oh, well, you know why. That's cool. Because they spray out through the back there, don't they? So maybe that's why they put their legs right up in the air like that.
To get a really good sprayage.
Yeah. So I wonder, let's go back to that other video now and have a look at Cousin It with our new skunk knowledge.
Skunk knowledge.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I see. What could look like the top of a head could be the bushy tail lopped over, you know.
The legs, I feel like they're kicking backwards as a walking thing. If you were walking with your hands, you wouldn't sort of kick your hands backwards, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you know the skunks don't have hands. They've got paws. They're very different to humans.
but you know what I mean? They wouldn't kick it. They would sort of...
Yeah.
Kick it.
Kick it like the skunk. Walk with your hands now. Oh, yeah, you're a human now. Dress up like a skunk. Walk on the hands. Oh, yeah. Ugh, I got me. Come on, mate.
It was that the music that was playing for the breakdancing BBC doco? Can I just cap off the synchronicity issue? You know how I just reached up to show you my Eric Don Dog Vanekin?
Eric Dong Vanekin.
I can't even say it anymore. Eric Dog Danekin.
I just grabbed what was the general area for Eric's books. And one of the random ones I got was the secret power of the pyramids.
No.
Just randomly pulled out.
But we were talking about the Sphinx.
Yeah, the pyramids are right behind them, aren't they?
Oh, right. Close by. On. That's classic for you because we're on point to a subject and then Buttons is always just slightly off to the side talking about something that's not quite involved in what we're talking about but is loosely related if you really do a lot of research, which, of course, he hasn't because time's running out and he's just looking through the sports results and he finds a mascot thing. Oh, shit, that'll do.
I thought that was really, look, because there's...
That's
got
really cool.
In Search of Ancient Gods, Chariots of the Gods.
Have you got any signed copies?
No, I don't seem to have any signed copies.
I've got all his signed copies.
I think I've got one signed for you, Dan, for your kids.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding. Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked you to get me one.
Yeah, but it's probably at Reese's place. He seems to have stolen all of our Eric Von Daniken signed copies.
Things are safe at my place, okay? We've got a lot of good security.
Can I quickly say, just because I reference this, and we'll save this for another episode, so as a teaser for future episodes, I mentioned our trip to Illinois, and the reason we were there was we were looking for the Thunderbird, and it was off the back of the footage of a man called Chief Huffer, who had filmed all of this 100 feet of reel of these birds. And he passed away just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. We lost the great Huffer, so we should do a sort of tribute segment to him in an upcoming episode and share some memories.
That would be great. We should do that, definitely, because that was an amazing trip for all of us, and it was fantastic meeting him, and he invited us into his house and showed us all his treasures, and and we went out on the boat with him and his mate.
Yeah.
It was an adventure we'll never forget. So, maybe we should do a bit of a Thunderbird special.
That's a great idea, because we got so much footage of him on Patreon. We have some of the videos there, the failed pilot that we made for that was a great trip, but ultimately was a complete disaster and completely unsuccessful. So you know, we should celebrate our failings more, really. Oh, okay. You know?
Well, that's all we've got. So if we don't celebrate that, what are we celebrating?
Exactly. But aren't they those people that didn't pick that show up?
Yeah. They're nuts.
Crazy.
Just goes to show the world is full of nuts.
Exactly.
And on that note, I think we should get going because I think...
You've got to get those service station flowers.
I've got to whip down to the servo and get some orchids. You don't get orchids at a servo, do you? I mean,
no.
Well, they're too fancy for there. Yeah,
you can probably get some nice plastic ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Here, Rosie. Sorry I didn't get the kids. Get some orchids that will last forever.
Yeah. Like our love.
Plastic, like our love. I mean, fake. I mean, eternal.
All right, before we dig ourselves even deeper, yeah. We should bail and let's keep the ball rolling and keep it rolling, which is what I've just said twice now. But I made it sound as though it was two different things. And we'll be back next week. We'll keep doing this regular.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I can't believe we're back. All right. Bye, everyone. See you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Go!
Oh, Mom!
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.